The Newton Nay Pierce House was a two-story white colonial, complete with a wraparound porch, a big oak tree on the lawn, and a picture-perfect picket fence around the yard. Staring at it from the curb was like opening a Norman Rockwell full-immersion interactive VR program. What a nice place. It's probably 70 years old, and it's real wood.
Very impressive. Shall I scan the structure for termites?
As Harv's hologram disappeared, I walked slowly up the brick pathway to the porch.
Who is it?
I smiled as sweetly as I could at the fisheye peephole. Good morning. My name is Zach Johnson. I'm looking for Ms. May Newton.
Well, that's me, dear. What can I do for you?
I'm a great fan of your son's work, ma'am. I'm doing some research for my employer, and I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions about him.
You want to talk to me about Benny?
Yes, ma'am. Or if Benny is available, I'd love to talk to him.
Oh, well, Benny's busy right now.
I understand, ma'am, but I'd appreciate a few minutes of your time if I could. I'd love to hear about Benny's childhood and how you raised such a fine son.
You really like his work?
Yes, indeed, ma'am. His
nanochip technology.
Nanochip technology is absolutely stunning. And his
work in artificial intelligence.
Work in artificial intelligence was nothing short of revolutionary. The door remained closed. Ms. Newton?
That sounds lovely, dear. Just give me a nano. I've got something on the stove.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Take your time.
She sounds pleasant enough.
I thought I'd lost her there for a nano. Thanks for the help with the technology thing. Now, when we get inside, scan the house for Pierce and pinpoint his location. Maybe we can steal a minute with him. Then I heard a disturbingly distinct sound from inside the door. Uh-oh. I dove headlong from the porch, just as the front door exploded into 1,000 real wood fragments and a hail of hot lead and buckshot.
I'm guessing this is what you meant by losing her.
I scrambled across the lawn, keeping low to the ground, flung myself behind the oak tree, and carefully peered around the big trunk, just as dear Mother Pierce strode through the destroyed doorway, wielding a still-smoking, authentic, double-barreled shotgun.
I told you people to leave my Benny alone! He's not a scientist, Dad Mabbit! He's a poet, a sensitive artist filled with creativity and appreciation for the beauty of the world! Now you get your parasitical behind off my yard before I fill it with lead!
She sent another round of buckshot into the oak tree, and I sunk deeper to the ground.
You really do have a way with people.
This one is not my fault.
Napoleon said the same thing at Waterloo, only in French.
Try just for a minute to be helpful here, Harv. Can my armor withstand a point-blank shotgun blast?
The armor wasn't designed to absorb damage from that type of projectile weapon. Dr. Poole, not surprisingly, never tested the armor against an attack from a 100-year-old shotgun. I will also point out that the armor will not protect your head, so the answer to that question is a bit of a mixed bag.
I get the point. I popped my gun into my hand.
Oh, come now. You're not really going to blow Grandma away, are you?
I'm gonna take out her weapon. Gun. Sticky stuff. Short duration. I try to sneak another peek around the tree. Oh, she's pretty good with that thing. Harv, can you still guide the projectiles for my gun?
Well, yes, of course. I have remote access to your gun and its projectiles. But from behind this tree, I can't see Shotgun Granny any better than you.
I can fix that. I remove the interface from my forearm, switch over to the wrist interface, and use the view from its lens as a guide.
All right.
You know, if you stick this interface out there, she'll very likely blow your hand off.
Sticking my hand out wasn't exactly what I had in mind.
Now, wait a moment. What do you think you're...
I tossed the interface into the air toward the house. You still there, Harv?
I think I've been hit.
Is the interface lens still functional?
You threw me into the line of fire.
It's a wrist interface, for Steve's sake. You're only in about 1,000 other places, including my head.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a clear view of Miss Pierce?
Yes, and I don't like the way she's looking at me.
Lock onto her weapon and take over guidance on the gun.
Done. Now fire before she mistakes me for a clay pigeon.
The remote control round exploded outward in a wide, curving arc and sped miraculously into one barrel of Mother Pierce's shotgun. The round exploded upon impact, and a shower of translucent, yellow, petroleum-based glue instantly coated the shotgun and a good bit of Mother Pierce as well.
Well, this just isn't fair!
Mother Pierce tried unsuccessfully to pull the gobs of glue from her gun barrel.
You come here with your fancy talk and your expensive suits and try to turn an old woman's head. I told you before, my Benny doesn't know any
anything about science. He's a poet, I tell you. A brilliant poet.
She slowly sank to the porch floor until she was kneeling on the old boards, then pathetically hid her face in a glue-covered hand.
Zach Johnson fires upon innocent old woman, reducing her to tears. Another great caption for the showreel.
Yeah, let's go kick some kittens after this. I came out from behind the tree with my hands held high, in as friendly and as non-threatening a gesture as I could manage, and retrieved the wrist in her face from the lawn as I approached Mother Pierce. I'm sorry if I startled you, Miss Newton. I got a little confused earlier and misspoke. What I meant to say is that I'm a big fan of your son's poetry.
You are?
Absolutely. I find it quite interesting and mysterious, and I'd like to learn more about how he became the poet he is today. I bent down and slowly took the shotgun out of her hand, then carefully offered her my arm. The short-term sticky stuff was already beginning to dissolve. She took her bifocals, which looked exactly like her son's, from her apron, and put them on.
Wait a minute! Know you? I saw you on the David Kloneman show, didn't I? You're that Nixon dick.
Yeah, Zachary Nixon Johnson, private detective.
That's it? Zachary Johnson. I enjoyed the show that night. You were very funny.
Thanks. You know, we did a lot more of the back and forth banter in rehearsal, but they cut most of it so that the piano playing dog could do another number. Sorry about the glue, by the way. It'll evaporate completely in a nano or two.
Thank you. And I'm sorry about the shotgun attack. You can't be too careful these days.
I understand completely. These are dangerous times.
So, are you really a fan of my Benny's poetry?
I am very, very interested in the stories that he has to tell.
So happy to hear that. I'm afraid I can't tell you much about the literary merits of his work. I'm just the proud, adoring mother. Would you like to speak to Benny yourself?
If it's not an imposition.
Oh, it's no trouble at all. Benny would love to discuss his poetry. He's in his study now, down in the basement. He'll be happy to see you. You're much nicer than those other men who visited.
Other men?
I knew this was going too smoothly.
Three men. They stopped by about a week ago, asked to see Benny, but I wouldn't let them in. They were very persistent, talked to me for almost 10 minutes before they left.
But you didn't let them in.
Oh, Gates, no, dear. Do I look like a fool to you?
You don't remember their names, do you?
I never got all their names. One man did all the talking. Skinny guy, swarthy, too. Oh, what was his name? Manfred, Mandrake, something like that.
Manuel?
That was it! Manuel! Manuel Manny!
Bingo.
Dr. Pierce's study was like something out of another century. It was warmly lit from a handful of table lamps and a single overhead fixture. An intricately woven oriental rug covered the floor, and the room was filled with more darkwood furniture than I'd ever seen before, outside of a museum. There were two reading tables, a pair of padded easy chairs, a Victorian couch, and a large ornate writing desk. But more breathtaking than anything else was that the walls of the room were lined floor to ceiling with bookshelves and crammed with what must have been over 1,000 books, hardcovers, and even many leather-bound volumes. The furnishings of this room probably cost more than all the houses on my street combined. And there was no computer. Nothing automated, computerized, or remotely controlled. As I mentioned, I'm considered to be a bit of a throwback, but this was like walking in on a caveman.
Not a computer in the whole house, boss. But I'm getting a strange electronic reading from somewhere. The problem is that I can't quite seem to pinpoint it.
Uh-huh. Dr. Pierce himself was seated at the desk, his back to me as I entered. Dr. Pierce, I presume. He slowly turned toward me in his chair, and there was no surprise on his face when he saw me.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
He looked older by far than he did in the photos I'd seen. His graying hair was thinner, and the lines in his face were deeper now and more pronounced. His body had softened as well, becoming a little paunchy and untoned. I took a seat in one of the easy chairs. You're a difficult man to find.
Not difficult enough, it seems. And please, refer to me as Benjamin. I'd rather you not use the name Pierce in front of Mother.
I take it she doesn't know that she's April Pierce.
She isn't April Pierce. Her name is May Newton.
Whatever you say, Benjamin. She seems like a nice woman.
Some of my best work, really. Aside from her occasional mood swings, she's a perfect duplicate of the original in every regard.
Let's not forget her penchant for greeting unexpected guests with shotgun fire.
That's actually true to her character. It was problematic at times, but it kept the new Jehovah's Witnesses away.
There's something odd about his demeanor. He seems stiff, hyper-conscious of his actions. Do you see it?
Actually, I had noticed an oddness to Pierce, but I couldn't pin down exactly what it was. His mannerisms were forced casual, rigid. He rose to his feet and took a decanter and two snifters from an oaken cabinet by the wall and held them out to me.
Care for a brandy?
Doc, it's 10:30 in the morning.
Is it? I don't get out much. Congratulations, by the way, for finding me. You arrived nearly a day before I projected you would.
Yeah, I got lucky and crashed a hovercraft.
Pardon me?
Forget it. By the way, your buddy Fred Burns is still looking for you as well. At the sound of Burns' name, Pierce's face twitched ever so slightly.
His pulse just shot up 10 beats per minute.
That parasite. Does he still believe me to be in New Paraguay?
New Sri Lanka, actually.
Really? He's further along the subterfuge program than I thought. Another 5 years and I might have to devise some contingency plans. He's a laughingstock in the scientific community. Did you know that?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
He's a virus man. That was his specialty. I think he was actually good at it at one time, but he's such a two-faced, annoying little man that he long ago lost any credibility he may have had. His mother was a friend of my mother's. She forced me to bring him aboard the... to give him a job.
You mean on the BB2 project?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pulse just went up another 8 beats per minute.
You know, BB2, that plutonium-powered killer android and sex toy that you built for BS Star. Pierce twitched again. This time his hand shook as he tried to drink, and he spilled brandy on his shirt.
Loss of fine motor control. That's strange.
Pierce pulled a handkerchief from his pocket and dabbed at the spot.
Oh, clumsy of me. I'm sorry, what was it you were saying?
I saw an old friend of yours recently, Nova Powers. He looked up at me, then resumed dabbing the stain on his shirt.
Really? How is she?
Doing well. Undefeated in the ring, as I understand it, for the past 15 months. I was supposed to give you a message from her, but... honestly, I'm not sure which one is appropriate for this circumstance.
Pulse is leveling off. He's getting comfortable.
She's a fine woman. If you see her again, please tell her I said hello.
I will.
No, wait. Tell her that I said hello and was happy to hear that she was doing well.
Got it.
No, that's wrong, too. Tell her...
let's just leave it at hello.
That's probably best.
Makes you wonder why the two of them ever broke up, doesn't it?
Pierce stared at the fire for a nano with a trace of a smile on his face. He took a long sip of brandy. Clear something up for me now, Doc. Did you break up with Nova out of guilt over your mother's death, or was it because you were in love with BB Star?
Who told you that?
I casually wiped the brandy spray away. Let's just say that Nova was quite forthcoming with your dirty laundry.
It's untrue. All of it.
You didn't go a little crazy when your mother died?
Of course not.
And you're not in love with BB Star?
Absolutely not.
And you didn't sabotage the BB2 project, causing the android to become psychotic?
What?
He jumped out of his seat.
Pulse is back up. We've also got some heavy perspiration starting.
Can I get you another brandy, Doc? I don't think you actually drank much of that last one.
I think you should leave now, Mr. Johnson.
Not until I get the information that I need, Dr. Pierce.
I told you not to call me that.
I got to my feet and strode toward him. He backed up instinctively. Why? Because you don't want your mother to know that she's been dead for a year?
She's not dead.
She's the illegal clone of a dead woman, Pierce. You can hide from the truth all you want, but that won't change it.
You wouldn't understand.
Oh, I disagree. I think I understand pretty well here. I think your mother hated having a scientist for a son. I think she wanted you to be a poet, am I right? Pierce said nothing. You were one of the greatest minds on the planet. You were revolutionizing technology, changing the world. But your mother didn't see that, did she? All she saw was a failed poet, a loser.
Pierce turned away from me, shaking his head one way, then another, doing whatever he could to avoid my gaze.
To the world, you were a great thinker, but on the inside, you were an insecure loser of a mama's boy. And that insecurity messed up your life. It sabotaged your relationship with Nova and probably every relationship you've ever had.
That's not true.
And when your mother died, you realized that you've lost the chance to make things right. So that's why you're here. You're starting over with a new mother, a new name, and a new identity. You're trying to be the son that your mother always wanted. The problem is that you're not doing this because you love her or because you want to make her happy. You're doing this for yourself. You're trying to get rid of the guilt that you've been carrying all your life. The guilt that you think has made you a loser.
Pierce had backed himself into a corner of the room and was now cringing in front of the bookshelves.
Let me tell you something, Doc. I don't care. You can build whatever fantasy world you want. All I care about is BB2, and I want you to tell me about her.
This time, Pierce began to shake. His hands trembled at first as they covered his eyes. Then his knees shook as they slowly gave out. He slid toward the floor.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Pulse is off the chart. Loss of motor skills is highly irregular. Something's not right here, boss.
But I had already had enough. I grabbed Pierce by the shirt and pulled him to me, forcing him to look me in the eye.
Don't you get it, Pierce? She's escaped! The android that you created and turned into a killer is on the loose. She's armed, she's powerful, and she's crazy. I need to stop her before she kills somebody, and I need you to tell me how to find her and how to shut her down!
Pierce shook more violently, and his head started to twitch spasmodically to the side.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That was all I could take. I slammed him into the bookcase.
Tell me everything you know about BB2, or so help me, you'll spend the next 6 months of your life as a poet trying to come up with a rhyme for multiple fractures.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Loss of speech. Boss, I know what this is.
I slammed Pierce into the bookshelf again, and more books fell around us. I pulled my hand back to hit him, just as Harv's hologram appeared between us.
Boss, stop!
My hand went right through him.
Tell me about BB2! I said, tell me!
He's trying, boss, but he can't.
That's spam! He knows how to find her!
Listen to me, he's been mind-wiped.
I stopped and looked at Harv for a nano. Then turned back to Pierce.
What?
The behavior is textbook. The twitches, loss of motor control, pre-programmed responses. He can't even speak certain words and phrases. Someone has put psychic firewalls in his head and made it impossible for him to communicate on specific topics. It appears that the topic of X-Shell and anything related to BB2 are the touchstones.
Can you scan him to make certain?
I can't be as thorough as one of Carol's psychic probes, but physically, he couldn't fake the symptoms he's exhibiting.
My God. I was ready to break his arm.
You were a tad overzealous, but I don't think you've inflicted any permanent damage.
What do we do now?
A gentler approach would be a good start.
I put my hand lightly on his shoulder.
I'm sorry, Doc. I lost my temper. I didn't understand. But now, tell me. Have you been mind-wiped?
Let's also try to be a little less blunt about it.
You know, you could have mentioned that a little sooner.
Benny? Is everything all right down there?
I turned to Harv, more than a little desperate.
Fine, Mother. Mr. Johnson is helping me with a poem.
Well, don't get too excited. You know how that gives you headaches.
Yes, Mother.
He sounded just like him.
I know, that was the point.
How long do you think he'll be out?
Not long. His breathing and heart rate are normal. We'll have him back in a few minutes, I think.
So, we need to figure out how he can answer our questions about X-Shell and BB2 without actually mentioning those particular words. That'll be a trick.
It's a little trickier than you think, boss.
What do you mean?
Harv's hologram disappeared, and he jumped back into my head to speak silently.
Remember that electrical pulse that I couldn't locate? Well, guess what I just found.
I'm guessing that it's nothing good.
It's coming from Dr. Pierce. Specifically, it's a transmitter that's been implanted in his head, transmitting everything he sees and hears.
You mean his body is...
Shh! It's still operational.
Considered desirable in some cultures?
Oh, good cover. Yes, his body is bugged. Someone is watching you and listening to everything you say right now.
Can you trace where the bug is transmitting to?
I tried, but it's well stealth-coded. I lost it somewhere in Reykjavik.
Okay, let me get this straight. We need to ask Pierce questions about Ixchel and BB-2 without actually mentioning Ixchel or BB-2, and we have to do it in such a way so that whoever's monitoring him doesn't realize what he's telling us?
Problematic, don't you think?
Piece of cake. Let's wake him up. 5 minutes later, Pierce was awake, somewhat alert, and none the worse for wear. I slowly helped him into an easy chair and gave him another snifter of brandy to calm his nerves. Feeling better?
Yes, thank you.
I owe you an apology. I lost my temper. It's a character flaw that I have.
I sat close to Pierce, facing him, and trying my best to look calm, concerned, and confident all at once.
Listen, Benjamin. I know what you're going through here. I understand everything that you're going through.
I gently reached over and took his hand in mine. Pierce looked at me like I was an ex-postal worker who'd just gone off his medication.
I know that you're just trying to do right by your mother with all this.
I gently tapped his hand.
You're a good son. A very good son.
I don't understand.
Trust me. You're a very, very good son.
I shot a quick glance at my hand and his. Pierce stared at me, confused for a nano, and tried to pull away. I grabbed his arm with my free hand and kept tapping, praying that he'd pick up on my idea. I tapped, "Trust me," in Morse code on his hand. And finally, he got the message. A light went on in his eyes, and he nearly smiled.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. That means a lot to me.
I smiled and sat back in the chair.
Okay. I want to ask you a few questions, Benjamin. Simple questions that will make life easier for all of us. I'm going to start with the three questions I asked you earlier. Do you remember those?
Pierce nodded, and I could see that he was a little fearful.
It's very important that you remember those earlier questions exactly. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. So, truthfully now, you went a little crazy when your mother died, right?
Yes.
And you were in love with Nova Powers, right?
Yes, I was.
I saw the spark of understanding in his eye.
Good. You know what? Let's forget about that other question I asked you and just talk about Nova for a minute.
Yes. I'd like that.
She's a great gal. Strong, smart. I like that in a woman. I wouldn't want to come between you two, though. Say, Nova doesn't have a sister or anything, does she?
Pierce hesitated before he spoke, as if expecting another seizure to come. He smiled when it didn't.
As a matter of fact, she does.
What's she like?
She's very much like Nova. Very much like her indeed.
Well, you know, looks are one thing. But I'm interested in how she thinks, what she likes, what she doesn't, where she hangs out, that kind of stuff.
Pierce took a long swig of brandy from his snifter.
I understand. But her sister thinks very much the way Nova does. Likes what she likes, at least to a certain degree.
She sounds great. Do you know how I can find her?
I don't, but Nova would.
Nova would? What do you mean?
His pulse just jumped 6 beats per minute, boss. We're flirting with the firewall here.
Nova and her sister are very similar. They think a lot alike. Her sister's instincts are almost identical to Nova's. Nova may not know it, but on a subconscious level, she knows what her sister would do or...
Or where she'd go.
Exactly.
So, if I want to find Nova's sister...
You should ask Nova.
Right. Benjamin, your mother mentioned that 3 men came to the house last week looking for you. One of them was named Manuel Mani. Did they do anything to you that you remember?
No.
Pulse is up another 5 beats per minute.
You never met with them?
No.
Remember, boss, Miss Pierce said that they never came into the house. They only talked to her from outside.
Benjamin, did anyone else come into the house while those men were talking to your mother? Manny was a diversion. He kept Pierce's mother busy while someone came in and talked with Benjamin.
Keep it, boom!
Why would Manuel Mani want to mind wipe Dr. Pierce? What's gained by that? And how did he find him?
I stared into Pierce's eyes and saw the frustration below the surface. But there was something else there as well. It was resignation. Almost a look of acceptance of his fate. as though he'd expected it all along. That's when I knew.
I understand.
Understand what?
I got to my feet and grabbed my hat from the table.
Thank you very much, Benjamin. I appreciate your time.
Pierce rose to his feet with me, and we shook hands.
You're very welcome, Mr. Johnson. Thank you so much for stopping by.
I turned and walked toward the door.
Mr. Johnson, do you have a dollar?
What?
If I'm remembering correctly, you always carry an old-fashioned dollar bill or two with you for good luck.
You've read my press material?
Mother keeps the new people's sight on the screen in the bathroom. So you do have a dollar?
Yes, I do.
Then I'd like to sell you a poem.
Excuse me?
Give me the dollar. Please. It's important that I sell you this poem.
I pulled out my wallet and took out one of the old-fashioned dollars that I carry and handed it to Pierce. He smiled.
Things are never as they seem, as though we are living in a dream, where the one is like another, perhaps a sister, or something other. The more you have, the more others need. Danger is always near you, so take heed.
He finished with a little bow.
That was very nice. Very...
I've recorded it, boss.
Good. Thank you again for your time.
Mr. Johnson.
Pierce took a coin out of his pocket.
Here's your change.
And flipped it to me. I caught the coin, stared at my palm for a nano, and realized that it wasn't a coin at all. It was a neuroneutralizer, identical to the one that Bibi had given me. I looked at Dr. Pierce, who shrugged his shoulders almost imperceptibly.
I have no more need for money. Oh, and by the way, if you should see Nova Powers again, please tell her that I'm very sorry for how I treated her.
I will.
You know, never mind. I'll tell her myself.
Right.
But if you happen to come across Nova's sister...
Yes?
Kick her plutonium ass for me.
So, you know who mind-wiped Pierce, don't you? You saw it in his eyes?
Yeah.
Well, who was it?
It was her. It was BB2.
A few moments later, Harv was beside me in the car, sitting casually in the passenger seat.
I don't get it, boss. We're going to ask the woman who hired us to find the android where we can find the android?
Well, of course it's going to sound silly if you put it that way. Look, BB2 is a copy of BB. Same exact memory, same exact mental and emotional structure. Accepting, of course, whatever personality traits and behaviors that B.S. and Pierce specifically added.
Like the murderous psychoses.
Good example. Anyway, according to Pierce, BB2's instincts would be similar to BB's. On a gut level, they think the same things. BB has information. She just doesn't know she has it, and we have to dig into her subconscious to find it. At least that's Pierce's advice.
Ah, yes. The voice of reason and sanity. Which leads to another question. Why would BB2 mind-wipe Dr. Pierce to keep him quiet? Why not simply kill him?
Maybe out of respect for him as her creator? Maybe she thought it would be more fun than just killing him. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Pierce knows, but he can't tell us. Not without spitting on my shoes and shaking his teeth loose, anyway.
So, what exactly are you going to ask, Miss Star?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Upon my request, BB had shut down the holographic program that created the pastoral backdrop for her office. I thought that the green grass and flowers would be a distraction for her, and I needed her to dig deep into her head for information, although I didn't tell her that. Without the background program, the office was very empty, gray, and limbo-like. It was almost impossible to tell exactly how big the room was because there was nothing to measure it by. It was kind of creepy, but also kind of appropriate. BB had a faux leather couch, coffee table, and easy chair, and she sat comfortably in the chair while I fiddled meticulously with some equipment that I'd brought with me.
I am not familiar with this device. What did you say it was called?
A void conf meter. It was made by a friend of mine. It's designed to monitor emotional reactions to stimuli.
I held out a pair of small sensors that were attached by wires to the main console in front of me.
I need to attach these to you, if you don't mind.
Tell me where they need to be attached, and I will tell you whether or not I mind.
The small one clips onto your thumb. The round one I'll just tape to your temple.
I moved toward her and slowly raised the censer toward her forehead. She pulled away slightly and almost girlishly put her hand to her hair.
My makeup.
I don't think it will hurt it. I gently moved her hair away from her forehead. I'll put it here, behind your hair. Her hair was soft and full, like strands of perfumed silk. I had to fight a subconscious urge to run my fingers through it. I think BB noticed. I saw her smile ever so slightly as she adjusted the sensor on her forehead.
Thank you, Zachary.
Boss, are you okay? Your pulse is up a bit.
I'll monitor you as I ask these questions, and I'll be guided by the responses from the machine as much as your actual answers. This way, it'll be easier to spot sensitive areas in your subconscious that are worth exploring.
Is all this really necessary?
The droid has your brain patterns and personality, BB. You know better than anyone how she is... It is going to react. I touched a few buttons on the console and monitor, and then turned back to BB and gave her a smile. Now then, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, close your eyes now and relax. Let's begin with the basics. You're frightened.
No.
It's a hypothetical question, BB.
I know that, but I never get frightened.
Never?
When you have danced naked in front of 10,000 screaming drunken men. Well, everything else seems insignificant after that.
All right, I'll rephrase. You're concerned.
Better.
You're a droid.
No, I am not.
Hypothetical, BB. Stay with me here.
Right. Sorry.
You're a droid. You've escaped. You're on the loose with people after you. You have nowhere to go. What do you do?
Seek shelter. Hide and plan.
Good. That's what we're looking for. Do you leave the city?
I would not leave the Bay Area.
Why not?
Because I know this city and this area like the back of my hand. I am on solid ground here. I love this city.
So, where in this area would you go?
There are so many choices. The sewer tunnels, the piers, the sub-basements, the skyscrapers. No, wait. Someplace high.
Why high?
To regain my confidence. The world looks smaller from above. I feel even more powerful then. Like I can squash my enemies beneath my million credit heel. Grind them into bloody shreds of flesh and bone. Then kick their crushed skulls aside and watch them roll like marbles on a playground.
Little vindictive there, BB.
Sorry. I just like heights, I guess.
Are we certain that BB-2's psychotic nature isn't part of the original?
Okay, so we've established that heights make you feel powerful, but what makes you feel safe?
Grandma.
Grandma?
Yes, Grandma. When I was a child in Oakland, my mother worked nights, so I spent a lot of time with my grandma.
How old were you then?
We moved to the New Dakotas when I was 6, so I was very young at the time. 2, 3, maybe 4.
Very impressionable.
I suppose so.
What kind of things come to mind when you think of your grandmother?
Safety.
Aside from that, specific memories, sensory impressions.
It was dark.
Dark?
Not pitch black, but comfortably shadow-like. With some warm-colored lights.
Anything else?
It was warm. I could sleep without a blanket.
Warm and dark. This is good. What else comes to mind when you think of that time?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon? Why?
Not certain, really. I just associate cinnamon with that time.
That's good. The sense of smell is very powerful. It often makes very strong mental impressions. When I think of cinnamon, I'm reminded of eating cinnamon buns on a warm autumn morning. What about you?
Yes. A warm morning. That is very good, Zach. I think of that as well.
Is your grandmother still alive?
Yes, she is 87. She lives in town.
Would it be all right if I spoke to her?
Absolutely not.
BB, this is important. Your grandmother clearly shaped a lot of your early memories. These are memories you share with BB-2. BB-2 may seek out a place where she subconsciously feels safe.
Are you saying that Grandma is in danger?
I don't know that for certain. But at the very least, she has some information that could be important.
Zachary, let me remind you that I did not hire you to psychoanalyze me or my grandmother. I did not hire you to delve into the recesses of my subconscious or probe my memories as a child.
She removed the sensors from her hand and forehead, and gently but authoritatively handed them to me.
I hired you to find a renegade android. If you cannot do the job, then I will gladly find someone who can.
Tell me the truth, BB. How many people do you have up there right now looking for this droid? She was silent.
My guess is that you have every security person at your disposal scouring the city. Employees in every metropolitan office searching the major cities, and satellites in orbit checking every square inch of the planet. You have state-of-the-art sensors searching for some trace of BB-2's electronic signature, some sign of residual radiation from her plutonium core, or any energy residue that would come from the discharge of her built-in weaponry. You probably even designed tracking chips into her mainframe so that you could find her if something like this were ever to happen. And yet you still don't have a clue as to where she is. Am I wrong?
No.
The hard truth is that this droid could be anywhere. She knows that you're searching for her. She probably knows how you're doing it, and she's figured out how to evade you. What's more, if she stayed hidden this long, it's probably because she's planning something, and that can't be good. You're not going to find her by searching. The only way to find her is to get inside her head and figure out what she's planning. That's what I'm trying to do, and right now I need to speak to your grandmother. It's understandable that you want to shield her from all of this, but you and I both know that this droid is dangerous, and we have to stop her before she kills someone.
It.
It?
You keep referring to the droid as she. It is not alive. It is a machine. Please use objective rather than feminine pronouns in your references.
I'll try.
I am not paying you to try. I am paying you to find this droid and return it to me. My grandmother currently resides at the New Frisco Centurion Citizen Center on Bay Street. Net the reception center there and they will set up an appointment for you. My computer will verify your access.
Thank you.
Treat her with respect, Zack. Do not speak to her in the manner which you just spoke to me. If you do, I will see to it that you never work on this planet again.
Understood. And I apologize if I spoke harshly. I was only telling the truth.
She touched a button on her desktop, and the holographic decor program rebooted.
I think that we are done here.
There's actually one more thing. I have reason to believe that the droid is now working with Manuel Mani.
Manuel? How did he find the droid?
I'm guessing that it's the other way around. BB-2 came to Manuel.
Why would it come to him?
I don't know. But it's no secret that you and Manuel were an item.
He was my personal astrologer.
So the two of you weren't romantically involved?
Why do you ask?
I've just heard some conflicting reports that you were,
Boss, you're not about to ask our high-paying employee whether or not she's really frigid, are you?
Romance had nothing to do with it. The relationship between Manuel and me began as professional, turned physical, and then grew tiresome. I terminated the relationship, and Manuel left the company shortly thereafter.
So the breakup was your idea?
Men do not break up with me, Zack. The droid has clearly gotten Manuel on the rebound.
That's probably true. Does Manuel have any skills?
I beg your pardon?
Other than astrology, I mean. I'm just trying to figure out what BB-2 would want with Manuel.
I have no idea. Manuel has no skills that would appeal to the droid.
Okay. I just thought you should know.
Yes, thank you. I enjoy hearing that my ex-boyfriend is taken up with my psychotic android doppelganger. Now, if there is nothing else...
I gathered up my gear. I think I have enough to go on for now. Thanks for your time.
I was soon back in the Mustang and headed toward the office. Harv projected himself into the passenger seat as we drove.
So, we're off to Grandma's house?
Over the river and through the woods.
And what do we do with the Void Kampf?
The what?
The Void Kampf? The device that you use to measure Miss Star's emotional and mental reactions to your questions?
Oh, that. I threw it in the trunk. It's just an old personal entertainment system. Void and Kampf are two guys from my old bowling league. I figured that she'd take the questions more seriously if she thought she was being monitored. Maybe speak a little more truthfully.
So, you're saying that you needed a machine to give yourself credibility?
Now, you see, I knew you were going to twist it like that.
I completely understand your desire to use computers and machines to make up for your inadequacies. It's only natural.
You want me to put the top down?
So, we're off to see Granny Beebe at the Frisco Home for the Old and Unwanted.
The Frisco Centurion Citizen Center. And yes, we're going to speak with Mrs. Backerman. You need to be a little more civil in your linguistics, Harv.
Oh, please. You know very well that I've been programmed to use the most current geopolitically sensitive terms. I was being facetious and trying to make a point about the sensibilities of our distinguished client.
The point being?
Well, it seems to me that if Ms. Starr loves her dear grandmother as much as she professes, she wouldn't have put her in an old folks' home, or as my programming forces me to refer to it, a care community for the youthfully challenged.
That's BB's choice.
True. But I would think that the richest woman in the world might do a little better for her dear old granny.
Yeah, I've already thought of that, but I'm reserving judgment until speaking with Mrs. Backerman.
It wasn't long before I was in the parking lot outside the mammoth high-rise that was the Frisco Centurion Citizen Center. Switch out of hologram mode. I'd like to keep you a secret as long as possible. I looked up at the towering building and nearly toppled over from a mild attack of vertigo. The structure was a prime example of the ridiculous architecture of the early 2040s. A huge, sterile, albeit good-looking box of a building with all the personality of a cardboard convenience store night clerk. It was conservative in every sense, save for its size. The thing was over 200 stories high. Talk about subconscious insecurities. And I suppose Grandma lives on the ground floor. I watched the high-speed elevators zip up and down the walls like hyper-roaches on a garbage can.
She lives in the penthouse, floor 256.
Of course. The elevator operator, a high-class server droid with pale orange skin and pleasant though somewhat cold features, greeted me at the door.
Good day, sir. My name is Wilhelm. Who would you like to visit with?
A building this large, you'd think they could afford a grammatically correct droid.
What?
I said, who would you like to visit with?
It's with whom would you like to visit, you binary buffoon?
Will you cut it out?
Will I cut what out? Have I disturbed you?
No, not at all. Zach Johnson to see Grandma Backerman, please.
I'm sorry, sir, but there is no person by that name residing here. Though after consulting my extensive database, I have noticed that one of our tenants is named Barbara Backerman. Perhaps she is who you're looking for?
It did it again. Where did this pseudo-brain get his programming, RoboShack?
That would be my guess.
Mrs. Backerman resides on the 256th floor. Do you wish to push the buttons yourself?
That's okay. Knock yourself out.
But, sir, if I knock myself out, how can I operate the high-rise cargo passenger delivery device?
It's a figure of speech.
Please hang on to the side rails. If you are a resident of a province where tobacco products are still legal, please remember that tobacco products and byproducts are forbidden on this device as required.
I'm local, from New Frisco.
I'm sorry, sir. Regulations. We receive visitors from all provinces at this center, including those where tobacco is still legal. Since I am not connected with a worldwide residential database, I am unable to ascertain your province of residency. Therefore, it is only prudent to officially inform you of the regulations that you must adhere to.
To which you must adhere? I can't believe they let this droid operate heavy machinery.
I should also warn you that although the use of cannabis products is currently allowed for medicinal purposes under current law, the use of such products within the confines of this passenger delivery device is prohibited.
How long until we get there?
We have reached your destination. Mrs. Backerman's room encompasses this entire wing. Therefore, you should have no difficulty finding what you are searching for.
Thanks. The door to Ms. Backerman's suite was at the end of a short hallway, which was clearly well monitored. I cautiously approached and pressed the call button under the view screen. After a nano, a woman's face appeared on the screen. The face was delicate and stunningly beautiful, reminiscent of Bibi herself. Albeit a much younger BB than the one I knew.
Zachary Johnson? My goodness, what a surprise. What can I do for you?
I'm looking for Barbara Backerman.
That would be me.
Let me be more specific. I'm looking for Barbara Backerman, the grandmother of BB Star.
Like I said, dear, that would be me.
There are times during investigations when you uncover a simple piece of information, and everything that you thought you knew suddenly gets turned on its head. The case takes on a whole new dimension, and your entire plan for the investigation changes completely. I love those times. This wasn't one of them, but it was pretty weird. The woman who claimed to be Grandma Backerman had the face of a debutante model, and the figure to which all debutante models aspire. She looked more than a dozen years younger than me, and more importantly, younger than Bibi. It's true that we live in strange times and that today's holograms and regen treatments can provide pretty fair makeovers, but this was light years beyond anything I'd ever seen.
Please come in.
You're Grandma Backerman?
Yes, dear, I am. Aren't you a micro young to be in need of a hearing implant?
I'm sorry, I'm just a little taken aback. It's not every day I meet a grandmother who looks 19.
Oh, you flatter me, Mr. Johnson. My regen treatment has computer-adjusted my appearance to be age 22.
Well, you wear the years well. And please, call me Zach. I must say that your regen treatment is simply astounding.
I'm a very rich woman, Zach. I use only the best. Dr. S. Vitello performed the procedures himself.
Well, I'd say the procedure was a roaring success. She motioned me toward the floating anti-grav couch in the sunken living room.
I do so love the flattery of a young man. Now, what can I do for you, dear?
I'm doing some work for your granddaughter, and I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. Would this be regarding business or pleasure?
Her girlish hand touched my thigh.
Strictly business, ma'am.
Are you certain of that?
Her hand moved a little further up my thigh. I scooted away from her a bit on the couch.
By any chance, did your regen treatment include massive hormonal transfusions?
Why do you ask?
I think you might want to get the levels reduced a bit.
You know, that would explain a lot of the cravings I've been having recently. But now, since I can't interest you in anything carnal, can I get you a nice glass of iced tea? It's the real thing, you know.
Tea would be fine.
No sooner had the words left my mouth than a tiny maid bot rolled dutifully into the room, carrying two glasses of iced tea and a tray of cookies in her claws.
That was quick.
I took my tea and a cookie from the tray.
Like I said, dear, I only use the very best.
She took her tea, and the maid bot rolled back into the kitchen so quickly, I expected to see skid marks on the rug.
So, what are these questions that are so important?
They concern Bibi.
Oh, she's not in any trouble, is she?
No, not really. She's hired me to do some investigating for her, and I just need some background on her childhood.
Go right ahead. I'm so proud of my little baby.
She speaks very highly of you as well. Did you know her husband at all?
Oh, yes, her husband. Or as I prefer to call him, B.S. may he burn in the fiery bowels of purgatory forever and a day, Star.
I take it you weren't a fan of Mr. Star.
Oh, Zach, the things I could tell you. The horrors that he put my baby through. She would call me in the middle of the night crying over what he'd done to her. It was all I could do to keep her sane.
He beat her?
And worse. I knew that man was no good from the very beginning. Pure poison, that's what he was. I tried so hard to talk her out of marrying him, but Bibi was in love, and there's just no reasoning with a woman in love. After they married, B.S. showed his true self. Only then did she realize what a terrible mistake she had made.
Why didn't she leave him?
Oh, Zach, I almost envy your naivete. No one leaves B.S. Star. A high-profile marriage like the one he and Bibi had? He'd never let her embarrass him like that. He'd kill her first.
Or replace her.
Pardon me, dear?
Nothing. Please, go on.
Well, B.S.'s destructive behavior finally caught up with him, and it was a wonderful day indeed when that sadistic pile of maggot spit finally shuffled off the mortal coil. Oops, I guess that wasn't a very grandma-like thing to say.
Well, the mortal coil part was.
But you get my point, don't you?
I think so, yes.
Oh, good. Now, how about another cookie?
The maid bot quickly sped from the kitchen to the living room again, offering me the replenished tray of cookies.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
The maid bot sped back into the kitchen again.
She's fast. I wonder, can you tell me a little bit about Bibi's childhood?
Her childhood?
Yes, she says that she used to spend her nights with you when she was very young. She says that those times were some of the best of her life.
Oh, that dear, sweet girl. I'm glad she remembers me so fondly. It wouldn't kill her to net me every once in a while, but at least she remembers me, right?
Yes. But now, about the night she spent with you?
Oh, well, there's not much to tell, really. Her mother, may she rest in peace, worked nights, so she stayed with me.
Stayed with you where?
My apartment.
Where was that exactly?
Downtown, I think. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Oh, Gate, Zach, it was so long ago. I've lived in so many places.
But you said that you had fond memories of that time as well.
Oh, well, my memory comes and goes. I'm 85, you know. Surely you understand.
Yes, I understand, ma'am. Let me ask you one other thing.
Anything, dear.
What do you think of Cinnamon?
I beg your pardon?
Bibi says that when she remembers her time with you, she thinks of Cinnamon. I'm just trying to understand what that means.
Cinnamon. Ah, yes. There is a connection.
Why Cinnamon?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you why.
Did you bake much?
Bake? Oh, dear me, no. It's a struggle for me to even open a box of cookies.
The word cookies brought the maid bot once again to the room.
No thanks. Do you think it was some kind of incense or perfume?
Who can tell? You never know what's going to stick in a child's mind at that age.
Well, what do you think of when you think of Cinnamon?
Cinnamon, I think of warm nights.
Warm nights?
Yes, and sparkling yellow lights. Cinnamon is like an old sweater, big and soft and warm-smelling.
That's very poetic.
Yes, I suppose it is. Who'd have thought that a granny would have it in her, eh?
What do you think it means, exactly?
Well, goodness, I don't know, Zach. You're the detective, after all. Now, how about some more tea?
No, thank you. I'm fine.
A cookie, then.
No, thank you. But they're delicious.
Come on now. You wouldn't want to hurt my feelings, would you?
I'm sorry, but I'm really full.
Well, then, one for the road.
I noticed that this time the status light on the Meatbot's forehead had changed from green to yellow.
Really, ma'am, I'm on a strict diet.
The bot stuttered a bit this time as it rolled back to the kitchen.
Surely you have room for one more cookie.
Really, ma'am, I can't.
The bot disappeared again into the kitchen and finally gave up the ghost.
Oh, dear.
A pair of fire containment bots quickly rolled into the kitchen. I suppose another glass of tea wouldn't hurt.
Good boy. I'll be right back.
Can I help you with something?
Well, you could go to the main control panel and turn off the alarm. The firebots will have this under control in a nano.
Where's the control panel?
In the hall closet, I think. Please pardon the clutter in there.
I opened the closet door and was immediately hit with an avalanche of grandma-type knickknacks as they tumbled off the overstocked shelves. It had obviously been quite some time since Grandma Beckerman had organized the closet, or as I suspected, opened it at all. The control panel was at the rear of the closet, behind some temporary shelving. As I turned off the alarm, a pile of old papers scattered across the floor. I caught a glimpse of them as they hit, and I recognized Grandma Backerman's young face in one of the photos. I bent down and picked up one of the copies for a closer look. The color was faded with age, but the image was clear. It was indeed Grandma Backerman, back when her youthful looks were more natural. She wasn't 19 in the photo, she was more mature. Maybe 40 or 45, worldly wise, yet still beautiful. She actually looked a lot like Bibi does now. Her smile was subtle. Her eyes looked askance in a coy come-hither look. It was an advertisement for a strip club called the Nexus 6 from 40 years ago. And Grandma Backerman had been the headliner. Remember when I said that every so often a simple bit of information will turn a case completely on its head? Grandma Backerman had been a headlining exotic dancer 40 years ago, along about the time that Bibi remembered spending nights with her. But the bit of information that did the flipping was Grandma's stage name at the time, Cinnamon Girl. I excused myself from Grandma Beckerman's apartment as quickly and politely as I could, and hurried down the hall to the elevator.
How come she didn't mention that she was an exotic dancer?
Not now, Harv. I don't want to talk about it until we're out of this building.
I was happy, though a bit surprised, to see the android operator waiting for me in the elevator ahead.
Hello, Wilhelm. Ground floor, please.
With great and absolute pleasure. Please hang on to the side rails as we descend. If you are a resident of a province where tobacco products are still legal, please remember that tobacco products and byproducts are forbidden on this device as required.
Didn't we already go through this?
I'm sorry, sir. Regulations.
The elevator began its descent.
I'm from New Frisco. I don't use tobacco, I don't use cannabis products of any kind, and as you can see, I am hanging on to the handrails. All I want now is to get to the ground.
Whoa!
I peered through the plexi walls and saw that we were between levels and still over 200 floors above the ground.
Uh-oh.
This isn't the ground floor.
That's correct.
Have we stopped to pick up another passenger? If so, you really need to stop at one of the floors.
Your deduction is logical, but incorrect. I have no need at the present time to pick up any other passengers.
The door to the outside popped open.
You asked to be delivered to the ground, and I shall make certain that you arrive there, albeit not in the manner which you asked for.
For which you asked? This thing can't even threaten correctly.
Harv, I think you're missing the big picture here.
There are a lot of things that go through your mind when you're 200 stories above the ground and being attacked by an android. My first thought was, uh-oh, I'll never survive this fall. The first reaction is always the most obvious. My second thought was that I should have expected something like this to happen. After all, it had been hours since the last attempt on my life, and my recent run-ins with killer machines should have made me wary of this droid.
Hurry! Move your Gluteus Maximus balls, or you'll be taking the Terminal Express to the ground floor!
My gluteus maximus and I were already on the move. I shifted my weight to one side and ducked under the outstretched arms of the lunging droid. I elbowed it hard in the back of the neck and slammed its head into the plexiglass wall of the elevator. It was a smooth move, but I knew that it wouldn't hurt the droid all that much. So I scrambled to the other side of the elevator where I spun around and flicked my wrist, popping my gun into my hand.
One step closer and I'll blow you into an expensive scrap pile of whatever it is you're made from.
From this angle, the force of your weapon's projectiles will not only destroy me, but the anti-gravity circuits of this elevator as well. The elevator will go into free fall and crash to the ground below. Thus, my purpose will be served. Therefore, please feel free to fire at will.
Whose will? The android stopped.
I am Wilhelm, but you are trying to confuse me by pretending to think that my use of the word will in the previous statement was a reference to a being named Will or William. I, however, am a Model Class SFC-5 android and cannot be confused so easily.
Give him a grammar test. That'll confuse him.
You talk pretty tough for a droid with its sock untied.
First of all, I am an android, Model Class SFC-5, and therefore have no need for socks. Secondly, even if I were wearing socks, they would not need to be tied as socks do not have laces.
Therefore, since your socks don't have laces, they cannot be tied, and are therefore not tied. The android stopped its approach. It looked down at its feet and pondered its socks, or lack thereof. I took advantage of this and lunged forward, dropping my shoulder and slamming into the droid's midsection. It stumbled backward toward the open door, but caught itself at the last nano with a hand on the doorframe. It reached its other hand out at me, and miraculously, the arm stretched, elongating itself like a telescope, easily spanning the distance between us. It grabbed me by the throat and tried to pull me toward the door.
Your ploy was clever, but you did not take into account my superior reflexes and state-of-the-art technology. I am an android, Model Class SFC-5, and I am stronger than you in every conceivable respect. Prepare to tumble to your death.
I grabbed the handrail and held on tight.
Sorry, Bob, but I'm obligated to hold on to the handrail. You understand. Regulations.
You are no match for me.
I felt my hand slip on the railing as I raised my gun.
It's not the strength that matters here. It's the angle.
I'm sorry, but firearms are not permitted in this conveyor.
So report me.
My gun blast blew a football-sized hole in the droid's chest, short-circuiting most of the major functions in its CPU. I broke the droid's grip on my neck and kicked the sparking frame out of the elevator.
Hasta la vista, Wilhelm.
Yes. Well, I suppose it had been a few nanos since the last archaic film reference.
Harv and I didn't speak again until we were safely back on the ground, in the car, and on the street. You better contact the Centurion Center management and let them know that one of their androids malfunctioned. You were recording the confrontation, weren't you?
Of course I was recording. I didn't just roll off the assembly line yesterday, you know. Exshell owns the complex, and their computer assures me that there will be no questions asked about the late, great, grammatically challenged android model class SFC-5. Did you notice that Mrs. Backerman incorrectly stated her age?
Stop it.
Stop what?
Stop talking about it.
But why? Everything we learn from Miss Star's grandmother raises more questions about the investigation.
I know that.
Then why don't you want to talk about it?
Two reasons. One is that whenever we openly discuss new information or communicate over unsecured lines, bad things happen.
You mean like your car?
Yes.
And the hovercraft?
Yes.
And the elevator droid?
You see the pattern, don't you? I've switched to his inside-my-head voice.
You think we're being monitored?
I said nothing, and Harv understood.
And the second reason?
The what?
The second reason that you don't want to discuss how Mrs. Backerman's information affects the case.
Because, in a very strange way, things are beginning to make sense.
And?
And it's starting to scare me. We drove for another 20 minutes through the city. I doubled back 3 or 4 times, and only partly because I thought we might be being followed. It also drove Harv crazy. The sun was just going down when I parked the car high on a hilltop just outside the city. The lights of the buildings were just starting to come on. I could see almost the entire city from the hilltop, all the way to the old bridge.
Why are we here?
Because of my paranoid nature. The hilltop was the nexus of the city's 4 major skyways, and in the early evening hours it was among the highest trafficked areas in the New World. I turned my face skyward and saw what must have been 10,000 personal hovercraft crisscrossing the air above. I opened the door and stepped into the audiophonic eye of the storm.
I feel inclined to warn you. that another 2 minutes of unprotected exposure to this volume of noise will cause permanent damage to your hearing.
I smiled, reached into my pocket, and pulled out a pair of ultra-powerful earplugs, the kind that are standard issue for Skyway construction workers, artillery soldiers, and roadies for the 35 most popular teen boy bands. I slid them snugly into my ears.
Explain to me again why we're here.
I hopped under the hood of the Mustang, being careful not to scratch the paint, and lay out flat on the hood, looking up at the heavy traffic above. This is the noisiest place in the city. If someone is monitoring our outside communications and somehow listening to our conversations, I think this is our best natural defense. We can hear ourselves talk above this din thanks to the interface, but an eavesdropper couldn't hear me now if I were shouting in his ear.
Crude, but ingenious. So, where do we start?
Let's start with the concrete stuff. Bibi's grandmother was a dancer at a club called the Nexus 6. Find me whatever you can on her and that club.
Check. And meanwhile?
Meanwhile, we ask ourselves the big question.
You mean how many roads must a man walk down?
The other big question.
Which is?
Why?
Why what?
Why didn't Grandma tell us she was a dancer named Cinnamon Girl? Why did she get her age wrong? Why have at least 3 machines tried to kill me recently? Why didn't BB2 kill Pierce when she had the chance? Why is she hooked up with Manuel Mani? And why do people keep telling us that BB and BS had such a horrible life together when it's common gossip that BS died while having sex?
So the big question is a multi-parter.
Yeah, sort of.
C-factor.
What?
Your question about BS's death. That's the logic flaw in your equation. You're ignoring the C-factor.
Which means what exactly?
Well, you're starting with the supposition that BS died during sex. Let's call that supposition A. And supposedly disproving it with the evidence, let's call that B, which indicates that BS and BB did not have sex. If not B, then not A. However, you're not taking into account that A is not necessarily contingent upon B. You can theoretically prove A using other evidence, meaning that the equation could be if C, then A. Hence, the C factor. That being that BS may have died during sex.
But with someone other than BB.
That possibility exists, at least in theory.
I hadn't thought of that.
Clearly not. And as for the Nexus 6, it has a long and colorful history in this city, which I've downloaded and condensed for your perusal at some future time. I think, however, that we can forego the history entirely.
Why is that?
Because the club recently reopened.
What?
A once popular bar called the Happy Hacker closed its doors 3 weeks ago and reopened 1 week later under the name Nexus 9.
Nexus 9?
Admittedly, not an exact match. But I think you'll agree that it's definitely odd.
It is indeed. Come on, buddy. I hopped off the hood of the car and opened the driver's side door. Let's go to a nightclub and see if we can't find this renegade android sex toy killing machine. Oh, boy.
What?
The C factor. What if it's her?
What do you mean?
What if BS did die during sex with someone other than BB, like you said? What if he died while having sex with BB too?
Well then, I think the proper response would be, uh-oh.